one of the questions that was submitted, which is very nogeh l'maisa, halacha l'maisa, in Yonad Zioma, we're in the month of March, so someone asked if March Madness, are we allowed to fill out March Madness brackets and then bet money on it, enter a March Madness pool? I will tell you at the outset that I never really had much of a Yetzer Hara for this stuff, so maybe I'm not the best guy to ask about this because I don't really... This may shock you, but I'm a pretty conservative guy, and I don't take very many risks with money or with anything else for that matter, and therefore I never really had a tremendous Yetzer Hara for this type of thing. But in order to understand whether March Madness, whether filling out a bracket and entering an office pool or something like that, which is something that, by the way, is done in every office across the country pretty much, it's important to have a little bit of a background in terms of the halachos of gambling. It happens to be that we just learned the sugya in Daf Yomi 2 days ago. Sanhedrin Daf Chav Dalid is the primary sugya of Mesachik Bekuvia. So the mission over there says that someone who's Mesachik Bekuvia is pasul le'edus. The Gemara is a machlokes as to why it is that someone is pasul le'edus when they're Mesachik Bekuvia. Rami Bar Chama says it's because it's a smachta, and a smachta is considered gezel midrabanan. What a smachta means is that, what it seems to mean, is that a person doesn't fully 100% commit in his mind to really pay the money, and therefore it's kilu, he doesn't really want to pay the money when he's paying it, so it's like you're stealing it midrabanan. Now midaraisa, it's not stealing, the guy's giving you the money, and he knew what he was getting into intellectually. If you ask him, do you understand that if your teams lose, you're going to have to pay the money and you will not get the money back, he'll tell you, bepemale, of course I understand, and I'm fine with it, but deep down somewhere he's not fully emotionally committed to it, and therefore because of that lack of emotional commitment to being mechayev himself to pay the money, the chacham consider it gezel midrabanan. That's Rami Bar Chama's point of view. Rav Sheisha says, no, this has nothing to do with asmachta. Asmachta, you're right, is gezel midrabanan, but this isn't asmachta. When you play with dice and you gamble, that's not asmachta. The reason why you pasul edus when you play with dice is because you're eino osek bi yeshuva shel olam. A person has no appreciation for how business works and how money changes hands and the value of money and the value of hard work, so he's not going to be able to take it seriously enough. So most understand eino osek bi yeshuva shel olam just means that it's, you know, it's just something that you don't do, but it's not an iser. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis in Sanhedrin over there says that Einos Yishuv Shalom is also an iser. It's an avera to be Einos Yishuv Shalom because a person's time should be spent doing productive things, and when you're Einos Yishuv Shalom, that's generally considered unproductive. But anyway, Pasha Pshat Rav Sheshes is that it's not an iser per se. It's not an avera per se to gamble. It's just that if you gamble constantly, then you're unable to be an aid because you're not really in touch with reality. So the big question that we're going to have to ask ourselves, though, is let's say it's not a smachta. Let's assume, like Rav Sheshes, it's not a smachta. Why isn't it a smachta? What differentiates a smachta from a sachik bekuvia? Because let's assume we're going to paskin that a sachik bekuvia is not gezel, that it's not stealing. Well, why isn't it? Why isn't it a smachta? What is a smachta? What is not a smachta? What's the defining line? And once we have that definition, we can then figure out if all different sorts of gambling are just like Mesachik Bekuvia and therefore mutter according to Rav Sheshes? Or maybe they're not like Mesachik Bekuvia. Maybe other forms of gambling would fit into the category of asmachta. So there are three cases in Shas where the Gemara says something clearly is asmachta, but basra daf kuf samaches, if I, let's say, owe you $100 and I pay you back 50 of it, and you say that you want the other 50, I say, look, I'll pay it back in 2 weeks, and to prove it to you, I'm going to give the whole shtar to a third party, and if I don't pay back the other $50 in 2 weeks, I'm allowing that third party to give the shtar back to you, so you'll be able to collect the whole 100 again. So that, the Gemara says, well, when I don't pay back in 2 weeks and the shtar goes back to you, you're not really allowed to collect the whole 100 again. I never intended, when I told him that you can take the shtar back, I never intended that it should come to that. I really intended to pay it back within the 2 weeks. I didn't intend to have to pay the money again. So that's one example of a smachta. I don't want to go through all the cases. You look it up, of Metzia Daf Ayin Zayin Amabez, of Metzia Daf Kuf Dalet Amabez. You have all the three examples of a smachta. What's important for us is, according to Rav Sheshes, why is gambling with dice playing not considered a smachta? So Rashi in Masech Sanhedrin on the spot says that it's only considered a smachta if you believe that you're in control of the outcome. Meaning, when I say that if I don't pay you back within the next 2 weeks, then I'll pay you back double, I believe that I'm in control to pay you back within the next 2 weeks, that I have it within my ability to pay you back within the next 2 weeks. And therefore, if I don't, I never really emotionally committed to paying the penalty that I committed to. because I really thought that it wasn't going to come to that. I really thought I'd have you pay back. But when I'm throwing a dice and I know that depending on how it rolls, I will have to pay, won't have to pay, and I know that it's totally b'yad Hashem, it's totally based on the roll of the dice, it has nothing to do with my skill if I throw it this way or that way, come on, I know that it's a game of chance and that it has nothing to do with skill whatsoever. So if that's the case, that you're pretty confident that it has nothing to do with skill whatsoever, then that would not be asmachta. That's how Rashi understands within the Shita of Rav Sheshes. Tosos similarly says that when it's in my control, it's asmachta if it's clearly a guzma. When it's partially in my control, it's also asmachta. When it's totally out of my control, it's totally out of my hands, that's when it's not an asmachta. It's purely a game of chance, then it's not an asmachta. That's the shita of the Ri quoted in Tosos. Rabbeinu Tam has a different vart though. The Ri is very similar to Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam has a different vart. Rabbeinu Tam's vart is no. Asmachta is when I make a promise that can only hurt me. I tell you, if I don't pay you back the $50 in the next 2 weeks, I'll owe you $100. And if I do pay it back, will you owe me $100? No, you're not going to owe me anything. There's no penalty for you. It's purely a one-way street. So that's asmachta, because why would I commit myself to do something if I have nothing to gain from it? There's nothing coming back in my direction. I would only commit myself to do something if there's some sort of trade-off. So by a case of gambling, there's a trade-off. I could win big, or I could lose big. So I'm willing to commit to the loss because of the chance of the win. And that's why Mesach B'Kuvi is not an asmachta. Major nafkamina between Rabbeinu Tam on the one hand and Rashi and the Ri on the other hand is most forms of gambling that are some mixture of skill and chance. Where there's some mixture of skill and chance, and there's some skill that's involved, according to Rashi and the Ri, it's a smachta in according to all the shitas in the Gemara. It's gezel midrabanan. Even Rav Sheshes would hold this gezel midrabanan. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, where it has nothing to do with chance, it has to do with whether it's a two-way street, whether I stand to gain also. So then most forms of gambling, or all forms of gambling, l'chora should be mutter, within the view of Rav Sheshes, that gambling is not a smachta. Now the Rif Paskins La'alach and Sanhedrin over there, that gambling is not a smachta like Rav Sheshes. But again, when he says that, that means that Mesachik B'Kuvia is not a smachta. But what about other forms of gambling? Well, then it's going to be Tully and that Machlokas, Rashi and the Ri on the one hand, Rabbeinu Tam on the other hand. There's another very important point. Tosos, in a couple of places in Mesach Sanhedrin, and the Ramah quotes this La'alacha, says that in order for gambling to be mutter, you need the money to be there up front. You need the money out there, munach al adaf. If the money is not there, the money should be on a place that's jointly owned, right? That we're all makna this table to each other, and we all owe this table, we put the money on the poker table, and it's all out there in advance, only then is it going to be mutter. So if we put all the qualifications together, l'chora, for gambling to be mutter, it would need to be, first we would need to paskin like Rav Sheshes, that Mesachik B'Kuvi is not asmachta. Second, ideally we would need to fulfill the shita of Rashi and the Ri, that we would need it to be purely a game of chance, nothing to do with any skill. And third, we need the money up front, munach al adaf. That's what we would need in order for gambling to be mutter. Now, for Sfardim, Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Sim Shinayin, Sifim, Beis and Gimel, that it's Gezel Midivrei, Mikotz Lashon Rambam. So for Sfardim, it's an open and shut case. You don't get to stage one, because you're passing like Rami Bar Chama, it's a smachta, but it's Gezel Midivrei. So you're done. So, sorry, Sam. No March Madness or any other type of gambling. You strike me as a conservative kind of guy also, so it's okay. For Ashkenazim, the Ramah Paskins, like Rav Sheshes, so you get past stage one, but then you got to question stage two and three. So if I'm just pulling on a slot machine, I know that that's purely a game of chance, so I can get past stage two. The money, munach al adaf, slot machine, a little hard. I have to acquire the slot machine, maybe. I don't know, that's not so posh. Maybe the slot machine is your best chance, probably. Poker? Not a game of chance. There's some skill from what I never played poker in my life. I don't even know the rules. But from what I understand, if it's an athletic competition on ESPN, it must be that there's some skill involved. So I assume that if there's skill involved, that's going to be a problem for us. March Madness really depends on the office that you work in. If there's someone in the office that actually honestly believes they know something about college basketball, so then it may involve skill, that he thinks he knows better and he's going to be able... Most people, I think, in March Madness, but you'd have to verify that everyone in your pool is like this. Most people, when it comes to March Madness, pretend they know, but they don't really know anything, and they know deep down they don't know anything. They say things like tough out of conference schedule, and they don't even know what that means. And they just say words, and therefore they fill in the. But if you don't know what you're talking about, and everyone is taking the same chances, so then l'chora you might have a heter if the money's put in up front. The problem is, you would have to check every. The problem is not if you. You don't have to just check yourself if you know what you're talking about. If there's anyone else in the pool whose money you might be taking, who thinks he knows what he's talking about and thinks he's going to be able to win because of his chachma, then it's going to be a problem, according to Rashi and the Ri. I was speaking to my chavrus yesterday, we were learning the daf, and I asked him. I said, "No, I'm giving a Rabbi Raz." And I asked him. I said, "I'm giving a shir tomorrow on March Madness. What do you think?" He's like, "I don't know. Someone in every pool thinks they know what they're talking about. Some stomach, you got to be machmir." Okay, so l'chachila, probably we should be machmir. In general, gambling is not a good behavior to do. It's we can go through the whole mishmash some other time. This is a 10-minute halacha. All the poskim think that it's a very bad thing to do. Just one more ha'ara, and that is, what if it's just for fun? I just fill in a March Madness bracket for fun. I'm not even going to put any money on it. So l'chora, that should be vaday mutter. What should be the issue? One little caveat. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses if someone previously had a gambling issue. That previously they were doing geneva in a midrabanan using, with asmachta. They previously had a problem of asmachta, of gambling. So the Gemara says, how do you do tshuva from it? How do you do tshuva from that? So what does the Gemara say? We just learned the daf. You don't even do it for free. Those games, you don't even play poker just for fun. So if you taka have some tshuva to do, so the way to do tshuva is not even to fill in a bracket for fun. That would be the best tshuva to do, to not be involved in any gambling related activity. I think that's the ABCs of Gamblers Anonymous also, that you stay away from any context within which people would commonly gamble. So I think that's the long and short of it. Yeah.